813 Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gum, Nick Isher. Thanks for being with us here on this Friday morning. Well, there's going to be a book signing coming up tomorrow here in Galesburg. And if you're looking for a perfect time of year, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, somebody who loves history, there's going to be some really interesting history available in book form by author Tim Pletkovich. And Tim joins us here this morning. Tim, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing very well, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time with us. A book signing tomorrow morning at the Quilting Bee here in Galesburg. It's on South Farnham Street, the little strip there. And Tim's going to be there starting at 9 o'clock until 5. And the books available that Tim's going to be selling and signing will be, first off, Civil War Fathers, Sons of the Civil War in World War II. And your newest release, Nuns, Nazis, and Notre Dame, Stories of the Great Depression, World War II, and the Fighting Irish. All right. Well, Tim, let's start off with a little bit about of your background. I know you you make your home in Peoria now. You're a Geneseo native, but you've been kind of all over the place, though, haven't you?
Well, I was, Tom. After after graduating from college, I went to work for the Chicago Cubs as a scout, and I was a Midwest at a Midwest territory of Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa. And so worked for the Cubs for 3 seasons, which was, you know, a very interesting job. And then I went to the East Coast and covered the Red Sox for a radio station in Boston, and as an in-studio analyst, and became a teacher after that. And so then I became an author after that. So kind of a circuitous route to becoming an author.
Absolutely. Well, and by the way, your time as a scout for the Cubs, you actually spent some time here in Galesburg, and I know you signed at least one man, that the young man that played at Carl Sandburg College.
Yes, his name was Larry Whitford, and unfortunately he didn't make it to the big leagues, but he made it to Double A. Ended up being traded to Milwaukee for a major league catcher named Mike Martin, and so yeah, that was a lot of fun, and we were talking the other day off the air about some of these ball players, and it's kind of interesting to be able to track them, be able to keep following them, and to see what happened with their careers, and so it was a very, very interesting job.
Well, I think they'd be interested to know what career path you took as well, becoming an author. And my goodness, some really interesting. I want to talk about, first off, the book Civil War Fathers, Sons of the Civil War in World War II. This is something that it's almost hard to believe that it happened, but it did happen. How did this come about that you kind of found out about this topic and writing about it?
Well, Tom, I used to belong to an organization called Sons of the Union, Veterans of the Civil War. And there was a national encampment a few years ago in Springfield, and I went to it. And while I was in one of the meetings, a gentleman stood up and was introduced as the son of a Michigan cavalry soldier. And I was still teaching at the time, Tom. And when they introduced this gentleman, he was pre-99, but he looked very spry. He didn't appear to be any older than maybe his late 80s tops. He certainly didn't look like a nonagenarian. And anyway, so when there was a break in this meeting, I went up to him and I said, "Mr. Blakely," he was from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I said, "Mr. Blakely," I said, "I'm a middle school teacher in Peoria, Illinois, and I'd love to have one of my students correspond with you." And I said, "I think I'd be so interesting to hear about your Civil War dad." And he had a cane with him, but it was there for really no effect. He didn't really need it, Tom. And he flipped the cane up in the air at me, and it almost hit me. And it had his address on the end of the cane. And he said, "There you go, kid. Do with it what you'd like." and so I brought it. Didn't bring the cane back with me, but I brought the address with me back to Peoria, and I contacted one of my middle school students. This was in the, it was still in the summer. It was in August, so we were about 3 weeks outside the beginning of the school year. And I said to this gentleman, because I'd had him the previous year in seventh grade, and I said to him, "You know, I met a guy over the weekend whose dad fought in the Civil War." And there's a pause on the other end of the phone, Tom. And this is a really cerebral kid, so I knew he'd understand how amazing this was. And I hear him doing something numerically. He's not saying any words, but he's going 2,865. He said, "No," he said, "he didn't meet anybody whose dad was a Civil War soldier." And I said, Yeah, that's so I explained to him how it was. And as was in that case, as is the case with the other folks in the book, Tom, their dads were all in their 60s, 70s, and 80s when they were fathering these children. And I think I mentioned to you off the air on Tuesday that the father-son combination, the cover jacket of the book, the dad was born in 1841, the son was born in 1921. They're both pictured at age 21 on the covers of the book. The dad is pictured in his Army cadet uniform in 1862. The son is pictured in his Army Air Corps uniform in 1942. So dad was 80 when he fathered this child.
My goodness.
And he didn't, and what's interesting, this gentleman didn't become a father biologically until he was 75. His first wife couldn't have children. When she expired in 1912, he 2 years later, he remarried, and then 2 years after that, in 1916, he fathered his first child. And then 5 years after that, the aforementioned gentleman came along. Now, this is really interesting, Tom, because that particular family, I mentioned this gentleman was in his Army cadet uniform. This gentleman was appointed to West Point by President Lincoln in 1862. And he actually knew Lincoln. He had multiple visits with him during the Civil War. And so anyway, this gentleman ended up being appointed to West Point by President Lincoln in 1862, graduated in 1866. After having a couple meetings with President Lincoln, this is so ironic, he ended up, because Tommy had to serve his obligatory 4 years in the American Army, you know, after graduation from
right.
West Point. Well, he was sent to a place called Fort Monroe in Virginia, where Jefferson Davis was being held after the Civil War. Well, guess who had guard duty for a six-month period on 12-hour shifts over Jefferson Davis? This very same gentleman.
Wow.
National Geographic did a video on this gentleman a couple of years ago. His name was William Upham. And in the video, they interview his youngest son, the one who was sired by him when he was 80 years old. And in this video, Fritz, the son, talks about his dad's first meeting with President Lincoln, what transpired, and then his subsequent appointment to West Point. So just really kind of an amazing amazing story.
Well, absolutely. And the first thing, like you said, the first thing you do, you start doing the math. Like, wait a minute, the Civil War, 1861 to 1865. It's like, wait a minute. And then the
right.
fact that at that time, people, frankly, just didn't live as long. So the fact that these guys were even around in their 70s and 80s and able to father children is also pretty amazing at that time.
You know, with something else that's amazing, too, about this, I can go even a step further. This Fritz Upham, who did the interview with National Geographic about his Civil War, later to be governor of Wisconsin dad, Fritz's grandfather was born, paternal grandfather, was born in 1800, which would mean that for the three generations.
Wow.
Just having three generations, Tom. Those three generations encompassed parts of four different centuries.
That's amazing.
this guy's paternal great-grandfather fought at the Battle of Saratoga in 1777.
Wow. That's some pretty good genetics there, and plus the fact that they didn't get killed in any of those wars either.
Oh, it's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Tim Pletkovich. He's a nationally renowned author. He's going to be at the Quilting Bee here in Galesburg on South Farnham Street tomorrow from 9 to 5. He's going to be signing his books and selling them. Civil War Fathers, we're talking about now, Sons of the Civil War in World War II, and we'll talk about the other book coming up. Yeah. So the question we were kind of talking about this morning, with any of those fathers, did any of those sons, were there any of them that were born early enough that fought in both World War I and World War II?
No. None that made the book. Now, there would be someone in American history, though, that you probably would be familiar with, Tom, who could qualify in that area, and that would be the MacArthur combination. Arthur MacArthur, who was called the boy colonel, he became a colonel in the Union Army at the age of 19. is the father of General Douglas MacArthur.
Okay.
And what's interesting in that case, when you think about Douglas MacArthur leading our troops in the Pacific during World War II, by the time we came to World War II, General MacArthur would have been in his 60s. And in this case, you know, it's very different because the sons and daughters, of course, were all in their teens or 20s when they were fighting in World War II.
Right.
So MacArthur would fall into that category, but obviously he could not be interviewed for the book.
Yeah. Well, what, man, really, really interesting story. And I know people, if you're into history at all, and this is, man, what a really cool and interesting story and a great concept. It's just so cool the way it came about that you happen to meet this guy and sit there and do the math. Like, wait a minute, how does that happen?
Pretty. Oh, it is. And I like the way you prefaced all this, Tom, that this would be a great idea for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I like that way of thinking.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk about your other book you're going to have there for sale. This one is entitled, this is your latest book. It's called Nuns, Nazis, and Notre Dame, Stories of the Great Depression, World War II, and the Fighting Irish. And kind of the impetus behind this is somebody who's pretty well known.
Yeah, it's an interesting family. The subject is a gentleman named Gerald O'Reilly, who grew up in Brooklyn, and he came from somewhat of a privileged background, but he married into one of the most famous political families of the 20th century, and that was the Buckley family, the family of William F. Buckley Sr. And he was a brother-in-law to William F. Buckley Jr., former New York United States Senator Jim Buckley, and Reed Buckley, who was also a renowned author. This Jerry O'Reilly came from, was born in New York City and grew up in Brooklyn. His maternal granddad, whose name was Morris Francis Egan, was a renowned author of the late 19th, early 20th century who went into politics, and he was a friend of Teddy Roosevelt's and became a U.S. ambassador to Denmark under Teddy Roosevelt, remained in the Taft administration, and then was a holdover from the Taft administration for Woodrow Wilson's administration. And so came from a very, very interesting background. As a matter of fact, Tom, this is interesting. Teddy Roosevelt was responsible for introducing Jerry's parents to each other.
Okay.
And so if it hadn't been for Teddy Roosevelt, this wonderful memoir would have never come along.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, just the
Jerry grew up in Brooklyn, and just was your typical. You know, he ended up being, just a great man's man type of soldier in World War II, despite coming from this background where he'd been somewhat privileged. He very interesting. He grew up just a stone's throw from Ebbets Field. And he was always going over to Ebbets Field to see his beloved Dodgers. This is back in the 30s and early 40s. Mm-hmm. And as a little boy, Tom, he would go up and coax, you know, some man who was going into the ballpark, you know, and put on the most forlorn face and just say, "Mister, I've never been to a Dodger game in my life. I don't have any money. Is there any chance that you might be able to give me enough so that I could go into the game today?"
Oh,
and he
wow.
did this so much that finally one time there was a Dodger pitcher by the name of Van Lingo Mungo, and he saw what Jerry was doing, and he recognized him because he'd seen Jerry put on this act so many times, and he just said to him, "Get over here, kid, come on in." And so he went through the turnstile with this Dodger pitcher.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So where does the part of the Notre Dame of the Fighting Irish, was he a Notre Dame grad or?
Yeah. So after prep school in Brooklyn, he matriculated at Notre Dame. And right after he got to Notre Dame, it was his first semester, and that's when the attack on Pearl Harbor occurred on December 7th, 1941. Well, eventually, Jerry felt, and seven of his buddies, felt that it was wrong what they were doing, using school as a deferment to be able to remain out of the Army. Or out of any military duty. And so they all jointly dropped out at Notre Dame and enlisted in the Army. And so while Jerry was in his basic training, He was befriended by a couple of guys who had been skiers on their collegiate ski teams back east, one from St. Lawrence University and the other one from Dartmouth College. And they told Jerry, they said, Jerry, you ever heard of this 10th Mountain Division that's been formed out west? And they're ski troopers. And Jerry said, no, not really. And he said, we were just reading some material about them. And they said, Jerry, we think we're going to try to enlist with them. Why don't you come along with us? And he said, I can't do that. He said, I grew up in Brooklyn. He said, I don't know anything about skiing. And they said, oh, that doesn't make any difference. You can still be a ski trooper. Just come along with us. We'll teach you what you need to know. Well, wow. they all three were accepted into this 10th Mountain Division, and all three became ski troopers. They did their training out west, about 120 miles southwest of Denver in the Rockies. And from there, after going through this brutal training, Tom, just absolutely brutal, it was called the D-Series training in the Rockies for these 10th Mountain Division soldiers. After going through this excruciating training in climbs where the temperatures went below 30 degrees below zero, you know, they're at an altitude of about 10, 11,000 feet in some places, they ended up being sent to Camp Swift outside of Austin, Texas. Well, so that was a circuitous route to getting to Europe, because from Camp Swift in Texas, after going through all of this horrible weather that they had to endure out west in the Rockies, and then going to Camp Swift, it was quite a change. Well, eventually, they did make it to Italy, and they fought the Germans and the Apennines during the last 4 months of the war in 1945, from January, February, March, and April. And they were pushing the German army northward, back toward the Alps. And so the middle part of the book, he chronicles his experiences, his war experiences, fighting the Germans and the Apennines. And it really was quite an experience. He describes this very, very eloquently, though, and without becoming overly graphic, one is able to really conceptualize what he was enduring, without being overly detailed with a lot of the graphic, material. So it's a great read. It's a great read for anyone. First part of his book, he's recounting his days growing up in Brooklyn. He adds the material with Teddy Roosevelt and that background information, and how Teddy Roosevelt brought his parents together. His dad really had, this guy's dad had lived quite an interesting life, and knew both Teddy and Teddy Roosevelt knew both of this Jerry's parents. The middle part of the book, he talks about his life at Notre Dame, and then dropping out of school and going into the army, then fighting the Germans and the Apennines. And then the last part of the book, because of course this had disrupted Tom, his studies at Notre Dame. So after the war, he had to finish, and so graduated in 1947 after the war was over, and then married into the Buckley family. And in the last part of the book, he details his life with the Buckley family. And it really is interesting because one gets to see William F. Buckley Jr. away from the political arena and to see what kind of a family person he was, and was somebody who played an integral role in the development of Jerry's children. Jerry was married to Buckley's sister Maureen, who passed away. Her untimely demise came in 1964 when she was 31 years old. Jerry and Maureen had five children, all of whom were under school age. They were 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Wow.
And she suffered a brain hemorrage, passed away. And Bill Buckley and his wife Pat stepped in and were surrogate parents of sorts in helping Jerry during this very, very difficult period of adjustment. So just it's really, really interesting being able to look at Bill Buckley in this respect. But just a wonderful, I can't tell you how much fun it was with this one, Tom. On each respective book, I spent 4 years compiling it, and I couldn't have spent 8 years in any better way. But this is the consummate Depression era World War II memoir, Nuns, Nazis, and Notre Dame. Hey, with a title like that, you have to give it a read.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tim Pletkovich joining us here this morning. He is an author, and he's going to be doing a book signing tomorrow here in Galesburg. He'll be at the Quilting Bee. That is on South Farnham Street here in Galesburg. He'll be selling and signing the books. You'll get a chance to talk to Tim, and you can talk some baseball. I know Tim loves to talk baseball. We're going to have to get you back another time to talk a little more baseball as well. Former scout for the Chicago Cubs, among other things he did. But a couple of books going to be featured tomorrow. Civil War Fathers, Sons of the Civil War in World War II, a really interesting story. And then, as we just talked about, Nuns, Nazis, and Notre Dame, Stories of the Great Depression, World War II, and the Fighting Irish. Again, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, 9 to 5, Tim will be there doing the book signing, The Quilting Bee, here in Galesburg. Tim, I want to thank you so much for taking some time with us here this morning. We're going to have to get you back on again.
I'd love to. I'd love to talk baseball anytime or talk about the talk American history. But, yeah, and it just thank you so much for having me on, Tom. And I look forward to folks coming down tomorrow, and we can talk about whatever topics they'd like.
There you go. There you go. And, again, hey, yeah, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, if you have somebody in your family who loves history, loves Civil War, and just, I mean, even without that, just such an interesting story anyway, with either one of the books, you can purchase those tomorrow. Tim, again, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tom.